Full Service Radio programming is available on our website, fullserviceradio.org, and as a podcast, thanks to Simplecast. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren. Each week, I invite a new guest on the show to share their experiences outside the heteronormative or vanilla worlds of sexual expression. Guests bring a wide variety of gender, orientation, and racial experiences to life through the stories that they tell and the experiences that they've had. They approach sexuality in fascinating ways and talk about how it's informed by who they are and what they've been through. I invite regular people to share their best tools, tips, and tricks for communicating, thinking about, and of course, having great sex. Today, I am joined by Rebecca Hassel, who is a chef and entrepreneur who founded the salon discussion group Women Uncorked. Women Uncorked encourages women to talk about sex and explore their sexuality in a small group setting. She also developed and runs a workshop on consent. She and her husband are openly polyamorous, but haven't always been. So we're going to be talking about their journey to polyamory, navigating cheating and jealousy, which, you know, we've all been there, and what to do with mismatched libido. We're also going to be talking about what marriage actually means when you're not monogamous. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show. So for a little background for our listeners, Rebecca and I actually met because we had been fangirling each other's like sex posse work for a couple of months. And, you know, I'd been following Women Uncorked, but I hadn't been yet. And I'd been told by the queen, Reba the Diva, who came on my show. And I just hadn't gotten there yet. And then I was asked to moderate a panel from Planned Parenthood about female pleasure, and Rebecca was on the panel. So then we met and like squealed at each other a little bit and talked about female pleasure for a couple of hours, and it was a great start to our relationship. So I'm happy to have you here.
I am so excited to be here. I didn't know that I would be interviewed at some point, so Woo-woo. It's great.
You've made the jump.
I have, yay.
So to get us started, why don't you just explain a little bit about what Women Uncorked is and does?
Okay, definitely. Women Uncorked, and I should actually correct a little bit. I founded the group that meets over here in Washington, D.C. at the Lemon Collective.
Got it.
This other wonderful woman, Jennifer Beeman, founded the original group that meets in a rhizome in Tacoma.
Cool.
And what we do is literally, it's all women. Everyone identifies as a woman, drinking wine and talking about sex. And sometimes we put anonymous questions in a jar. Sometimes we just go around the circle. Sometimes we just throw things out there. But the point is people respond in different ways. And we all have so many questions and comments and am I normal? Has anyone else tried this?
Right.
Just so many things that people want to talk about. Like that's one reason why we call it Uncorked, is not just the wine corks, but that we have so much about sex that we want to get out. And most of us don't really have anyone to talk about it with because, you know, if we have our regular girlfriends or our sisters, we don't necessarily want to talk about with them because they know our partners and that makes them feel self-conscious.
Right, of course.
And so a lot of times women really appreciate the fact that they don't really know the other women in other parts of their lives.
That's totally fair. Do you find that you have a lot of the same women coming like each week?
Yes and no. And that's what's really fascinating is there is a core group of women who have been there many, many times. I will give a shout out to Robin and Madeline. If they listen, they are my hardest core fans. And there are other women who come once and never come again. Mm-hmm. I recently did a survey to follow up and pretty much everyone has a really good time, but we have busy lives. And so scheduling and location. So it's always about a mix of maybe 30 or 40% returnees and the rest first timers.
Cool. What are the different demographics of people who come?
It is all over the map. Here in DC, it tends to be women in the 20s and 30s and 40s. I would say more white women, but some black women and other minorities. Mm-hmm. I'd say more straight, a few bisexual, a few lesbian, and other varieties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is in Tacoma, there's an even greater age range. I've seen women in their 60s there.
Oh, awesome.
And recently, there have been a couple of mother-daughter pairs where, like, literally the daughter's like 15.
Whoa. So they're using you guys as a sex education space.
Exactly. And
that's
to learn
amazing.
Sex positivity and to learn different ways people have relationships. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, that just like made my heart like explode.
Oh,
it was, yes, so many feels.
Oh man, that's awesome. So how do you navigate? And then obviously we'll get to your story, but mm-hmm. how do you navigate having teens in that space with like older women?
I am still learning that, because the thing is the assumption is that typically you are sexually active. And that is not necessarily the case with at least one of the teens.
Mm-hmm.
But another really interesting thing is that there are virgins still out there. There are women
yes.
who have not had sex,
yes.
who are not fitting any weird stereotype. They are beautiful. They are vibrant. They see themselves as sexual. Just for whatever reason, they haven't had penis and vagina sex.
Right.
So while I'm still learning to navigate, I also just have realized I always have to keep my mind open, because our experiences are extremely varied.
Yes, they are. Well, and it's interesting you bring that up, actually, because when I left the panel that you and I were on, I was waiting for my car to pick me up in front of the building, and I heard two young women coming out of the building, and they were saying, "Man, I learned so much. I haven't even had sex yet, but I have so many questions." And I was like, hello.
Yes.
Virgins in the wild.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
So we proceeded to have a really awesome conversation where, like, it was really it was a great perspective for me, because obviously I spend a lot of time in sex positive spaces, as I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me that exactly what you said, like, where people's experiences are totally varied, and all of that variety of experience is totally, quote, normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they were probably in their like mid-20s. They had never had an orgasm because they had grown up in religious communities and had never engaged in that way. And one of them owned a vibrator but was like too frightened to use it.
Oh, goodness.
And they literally like didn't know. And they're like, "Oh, we have so many questions." I was like, "Why don't you tell me your questions?" They're like, "Well, but like, how do you like pleasure yourself?"
Oh, so they don't even know where to start.
Right. So I literally, like, step by step talked them through masturbation 101, things for them to consider and try, and, you know, sort of a stepped plan for how they can, like, sort of like grow their individual practice. And I kind of tried to tell them the things that I wish I had had somebody there to tell me, because I grew up in a really conservative Catholic household and didn't have anybody to tell me anything.
The other interesting thing about that is that we consider millennials to have so much sexual information, good or bad, at their fingertips, because we're like, "Oh my God, all these men, they're going after all these crazy things because they've been watching internet porn." But not everyone does, and not right. all the women do. Especially, I think some women are kind of scared that they're going to need brain bleach after they look at some, you know, scary video. And so people don't all have the same resources or know how to use them.
Right. Well, and because it can, to your point, like, the barrier to entry for that stuff, especially for someone without experience, is really high.
Yeah.
And so part of what we try and do, definitely through the in-person programming that we both are committed to and through things like this podcast, is we can provide a low barrier to entry space for people to learn and be exposed to things where they don't feel like at risk or challenged personally.
And I love it because like, for example, you have done at least one podcast with someone who was transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a whole lot because I, for whatever reason, haven't had that much experience with that in my life. And last thing I want to do is stick my foot in my mouth and make someone else feel bad or embarrassed, or I feel bad or embarrassed. So I felt like I learned a lot about how to communicate.
That's the idea, is that, because I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, if they are, most people tend to hang out with like-minded folks, and that means that they don't often even know like social norms or what appropriate communication or appropriate lines of questioning are for people whose perspectives and experiences are different than their own.
And that leads to fear, and then that leads to isolation and the problem we have today.
So we're out here building empathy.
Exactly.
Which is great. So you are in a polyamorous marriage.
Correct.
Which is a bit of a different approach to a marriage situation. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your guys' history and how you came to be polyamorous?
Definitely. So I met my wonderful husband when we were still in college.
We were babies.
Oh. It's one of those things that the older I get, the more I look back and say, wow, we were freaking crazy. That was ridiculous. But then other people would say, oh, well, you've made it. And I said, well, we have made it, but we've grown up together so much.
Yeah.
So we had very little experience. We taught each other everything we knew and then learned a whole lot together.
Wow.
But then a really funny thing is that after we'd been together a few years, I noticed that I would pretty much regularly have crushes and sexual feelings on other guys.
Oh, okay.
And that happened early on, and it kind of weirded me out because I love this man, I'm in love with this man, we're having good sex, but why was I always getting these crushes? And eventually, I kind of ignored it, and then they would go away. I noticed that they tended to kind of rear up during times of stress. Mm. And as time passed, and, our relationship with my husband had ups and downs, there were times when I was tempted to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were eventually times when I did cheat. Mm-hmm. And actually, the very, very first time was after we'd been together, say, 7 or 8 years, and that was very shaking. I slept with this guy. He was a work person. We didn't work for the same company, but he was a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really an educational experience because I had at that point been with the same person for so long.
Yeah.
I learned a totally different way to have an orgasm. I felt very different about my body. Mm-hmm. I actually felt very positive about my body, but then I felt shitty as a human being because I had just betrayed my husband, this man that I loved, and I'd sworn to only have sex with him until I died.
Right.
And it was crazy. I mean, I actually called a therapist after that weekend and started seeing a therapist. And what was really fascinating is she was very sex positive. We almost didn't talk about him. We more talked about sex, about relationships, about my confidence, about self-esteem.
Right.
And she really helped me, I think, become more of a better adult.
That's good. Well, and she gave you more tools. She gave you more tools in your toolbox to process what you were feeling and the information that you had and the experiences that you'd had, right?
Yes.
Helping you kind of reframe
yes.
those things and not only not to shame you, right? You're a shitty person for cheating on your husband, but to really take a step back and look and say yes, you cheated on your husband. Let's talk about what you're feeling and why you're feeling that way and where that comes from and all of that, which is healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually ended up feeling like it was a very positive experience overall.
Okay.
But then time continues, still having these crushes and still having...
Did your husband know?
No.
Okay.
He never. And honestly, he's not allowed to listen to this podcast because I have never told him that specifically.
Okay.
And then time passed and a few other crises. And basically sometimes during these crises, that is when I would have a crush. And depending upon the availability of the guy, sometimes we did have an affair. And basically, then I would have that whole cycle of, I did this thing. It was a really bad thing. I feel terrible about myself. Why do I keep doing this?
Right.
And during this time, I did need to work on my relationship with my husband, but a lot of it was just not even related. So anyway, time passes. It's kind of a cycle, not a cycle I'm feeling good about. But every time I go and ask myself, do I need to get a divorce? I'm like, I love this man. I don't want to live without him.
Right.
I just kind of like having sex and relationships with other people.
Yeah.
And then around this time, I met the man who's now actually my longer-term boyfriend. And that is what finally made me really research and understand polyamory.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was really relatively recent. I've only been out and official for a little over 2 years. Because I didn't really know that polyamory was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I've hear about, Savage Love Pod, a podcast.
Yeah. Well, and even if you're hearing about it, it's this thing that other people who live not where you live and not in your community do.
Yes.
There's definitely a level of othering about polyamory if
yes.
you don't know people who are polyamorous. But as soon as you meet people who are polyamorous, you're like, oh.
She's just like me.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. And
just you found a way to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Well, and a big part of that, and I want to kind of do a quick little segue, is the difference between polyamory and non-monogamy. Mm-hmm. So non-monogamy is when you sleep with multiple people. There is the non-ethical kind, which is what I had been doing, otherwise known as cheating.
Right. Or like every fuckboy out here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just basically having sex with everybody and, you know, not necessarily caring anything about your partner.
Right.
And then,
well, and frankly, not communicating.
Yes.
What you want and what, and like talking about like what that situation is.
Yeah. Just using each other as bodies.
Yeah.
Gross. Which, I mean, some people dig it, but it's not my scene.
True.
Typically. And then there's ethical, which is you are choosing to sleep with multiple people, but you do care. You are acting in an ethical way. You're not lying. You're not misleading. And then polyamory is literally means many loves. So I do enjoy having sex with multiple different partners, and I do it in an ethical way. They know about each other. I take care of their emotional needs. I want an emotional connection with someone that I consider my partner.
Right.
It's not to say that I don't have a little fun here and there on the side, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what makes me polyamorous is that I want the love connection. I want that connection.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you can be, when you're polyamorous, you are ethically non-monogamous, but when you're ethically non-monogamous, you're not necessarily polyamorous.
That is correct. And though I will also say there are people who consider themselves polyamorous who are having a dry spell. They might not have anybody, they might only have their spouse. You know, these things happen, you know, just for some reason.
It's like saying you're hetero, but you're not sleeping with anybody right now.
Exactly.
It's no different.
So anyway, cool. I finally had this great man whom I decided, well, if I wanted to be with him, I had to break the cycle.
Yeah,
and
totally. Because how long had this been going on for?
A very long time.
Okay, like years?
Years. Oh, yeah, years. Okay. Years.
Talk to me about the guilt element.
I had to compartmentalize. Okay. I had very much like, this is my husband headspace, and this is me loving him and taking care of him and being with him and enjoying conversation and, you know, feeling really connected and like we're growing. And then this is my fuck girl section where I have this guy that I've been seeing, and we also have emotions, and it caused a hell of a lot of inner conflict.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because I felt like I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to learn vulnerability. I'm trying to do self-care. And a little part of myself feels like a constant piece of shit. Like, I'm great and I'm loving, but I do this horrible, icky thing that would really hurt someone.
Right. Well, and a thing that, like, is not true necessarily to, like, who you are or how you, or, like, the values you hold about treating people and communication and things like that. Like,
I was out of alignment with myself.
Yeah.
And it
really... You're living two lives.
Yeah. And it really ate at me, and it made me ashamed of part of myself. And so when this finally came to a head, I was, you know, telling my husband, like, I need to have an open relationship. And if I don't, I think we're going to have to split because I just can't do this anymore.
Right.
And
how did he react?
Well, he got quiet, which isn't surprising because he's a very quiet guy. And he thought about it and he said, okay, well, let's try open relationship. And we had a rocky few months of trying to figure out what that meant.
Right.
Because first he wanted to do what's called don't ask, don't tell. And that ended up feeling like more lies.
Yeah. I've done that and it sucks.
Yeah. Because it's just like, where are you going? I'm going out. But then we worked through it, and we also read, there's a really wonderful book called Opening Up that's about polyamory and different kinds of open relationships. We ultimately did write a marriage contract.
Okay. What's that?
It's amazing. What's funny is I was really scared to do it because I thought it was going to put all these limitations on my freedom.
Right.
It's a contract in which you spell out do's and don'ts. What is respect and what is not respect? So for example, I do not mix finances with anyone else. I always spend the night at home if I'm here. I don't do overnight visits with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay if I host a lover at the house, but I do not fuck in our bedroom. I use the guest bedroom or living room or whatever, but just not our bed.
Yeah, that's your space.
And that's really reasonable.
So if you're having a lover over, do you text him and be like, do you have like a code word? Or are you like, hey, coming through with some company, like skedaddle?
No, he prefers
see, like, doing
to be
dishes in the other room.
No, he prefers to be the other way. So I work around his work schedule.
Okay.
But he is very, very good about texting me when he comes home. And his schedule is pretty regular.
Okay.
So, you know, if he's coming home at 5, we actually have it in the contract that any other party clears out 30 minutes prior to his expected arrival home.
Okay. That's tight.
30 minutes is fine. Yeah. But we...
Clean up time.
Clean up time, exactly. And, usually he doesn't like want to hear details. He's not one of those kind of guys.
Sure.
But like as we've gotten more comfortable, I will talk about things happening in my boyfriend's life because it is part of my life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to get left out of my life.
Right. Right. You're still share. Well, and that's what I was going to ask earlier when you were talking about kind of that phase where you were living two separate lives. And even now, when like you have your contract and you're communicating openly, like how do you, because some people view marriage as like, I'm sharing my whole life with this person. I'm sharing everything with them. And other people don't hold that definition, even if they are monogamous. So like, what does marriage mean for you guys?
Well, for us, marriage no longer means sex exclusively with one person, which is hard for some people to wrap their minds around. But I, for me, it's that we have a lifelong commitment. I mean, one good thing is that we've been together is we've grown up together. We are really committed to being with each other, with supporting each other through our growth, mm-hmm. through our challenges. We are each the other one's number one fan.
Yeah. Cheerleaders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing that that's I want to like do a quick little segue on is it didn't used to be that your partner, you know, your husband or wife was your everything. That's recent.
I've read studies and stuff about it and like listened to podcasts and read books and stuff about this where like the definition and purpose of marriage has changed over time. And now that we don't have to, we meaning like female identifying people, like do not have to rely on a man for financial support, mm-hmm. like safety, like just on a basic level, like, okay, like who's going to protect me if a bear comes? Like, you know, it used to be on the very basic survival level, like two is stronger than one. And like, you yeah. can't grow enough food in a field unless you have some help to like survive the cold winter. And like, we don't have to do that stuff really anymore.
Thank God.
So now it's, you know, in the contemporary context, it's come to the point where like, you know, we're not relying on each other for like actual physical survival, but like he's my best friend and my lover and my therapist and my travel buddy and, you know, the laundry list of other things.
Well, and the other thing about that is that our social net has become weaker. It used to be that we lived much closer to our family, so we would have different childcare. It used to be that we were all involved in the church, and so that might be who we complained about stuff. And so there have been some interesting studies coming out recently about how we have less sex than we used to with our partners, even though we really truly have more leisure time. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because we expect our partner to carry so much that they become overly familiar. Like, do you want to fuck your therapist? Do you want to fuck your babysitter? Do you want to, you know, fuck your, you know, your dishwasher help, you know, since if you're the cook. And so by having our lives so intermeshed, we're losing some of that frisson. Mm-hmm. And so I think, too, that also by seeing other partners, it makes him a little more exotic. It makes me treasure his differences because he and my boyfriend are so different.
Oh, man. I want to hear more about
so
that.
So different.
We're going to go to break really quick. When we come back, we'll talk about the difference between your boyfriend and your husband. You're listening to Insert Here.
As always, all of the music featured on this program produced by Morris. Find his music soundcloud.com/pmorris. This song is called, appropriately enough, Affairs. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You are listening to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren, and today I'm joined by Women Uncorked coordinator Rebecca Hassel. And before the break, we were talking about her living her best life and her polyamorous marriage. And now we're going to talk about what it's like to juggle both a serious long-term boyfriend and a husband and some like side lovers. So talk to me about like managing all of your gentlemen callers.
Something like that.
Yeah. All the different like stars in your constellation.
So first off is I always start closest with my husband. Mm-hmm. Like he always has to come first. He is the number one person in my life. And so one thing that we did is I promised to always spend a certain amount of time with him. I'm usually home a minimum of 2 nights a week, if not more than that, mm-hmm. but like guaranteed minimum. And on days off, I do my best to spend them with him too. So that gives him like some guarantee. So he doesn't start to feel scarcity. Mm-hmm. Because when I first started being more open, I was kind of feeling a little crazy, running around a lot, and he felt left out.
Is he seeing other people also?
That's what's really interesting. He is monogamous to me. He has no interest in other women. He has basically told me, stop pushing all this stuff on him. His kink is me and just get over it.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Fine. Everybody gets to choose their own adventure.
Yes.
Turns out.
And his adventure is, I guess sometimes living with me might be a bit of an adventure.
So you're polyamorous and he's monogamous.
Yes.
Cool. Oh, I love that.
And I kind of knew that he would be that way. And I think that's one reason why I put off that difficult initial conversation. Because we have a tendency to think that whatever I have, you have to have the same.
Equal. Fight for it.
Yeah. And in this case, that isn't what he wanted. But he does not mind that I really love these other relationships. And he's always known that I'm really open and that I'm really loving and that I'm really giving. And so it didn't surprise him that I had this extra love and physicality that I wanted to share.
Sure, of course.
So beyond that, so he always makes sure he has a very healthy minimum plus.
Yeah.
And then with boyfriend, we do a lot of texting. We see each other once, maybe twice a week. He's also very busy. He's just opening a new business. And so that takes a lot of his time. Mm-hmm. And it's communication. And it's really trying to tell myself, there's more than enough love to go around. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's not enough time to go around, but that doesn't mean the love is not there.
Right.
He's still very non-monogamous. He does not have any desire to be like a full-time partner to me. And that's not because of anything negative. It's just how he's wired.
Right.
And this is something too that's I've said many times to, you know, even to his face, is that I am so happy that we can have this relationship because I sure as hell don't want you to be my husband. He is a night owl. I'm a morning lark. He is just getting started with his business. I'm at a different place in my career. He very much wants to be a father. I am child-free and staying that way. Mm-hmm. So we're just in very different places. And so I have a wonderful time with him, both in bed and out of bed. Right. And then I go back home to someone who gets me at a very different level.
Right, right. Well, because you've been together for 20 years.
Yeah, we've been together for so long. And but even more than that, even if I just met my husband today, I still think we would have a really, really serious immediate connection.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. So. Well, and I think you guys are a great testament to how when you're in a long-term relationship, whether you're monogamous or not, you have to be willing to communicate and grow and change with that person and not expect them to stay the same. You know, you hear people getting divorced like, you're not the man I married. Well, of course not.
Like, and why would you want him to
be? And why would you want him to be?
I mean, if you know, if you got married when you were 28 and now he's 48, would you really want him to be the same person?
No, totally not.
But what matters is the communication and having fun together, whatever fun is. Fun in bed, mm-hmm. maybe you go hiking. Just don't make your married life all about chores.
Right.
I think that's another place where people get stuck, is that they're all about, who's picking up the kids? Who's taking care of the dog? Who's doing the laundry? Are you making enough money? Am I making enough money? And then that just kills the connection. You have to renew with fun.
So how do you guys renew with fun?
He and I, we actually have such a good time, even just alone at home. What I always say is he's the best person I can be quiet with.
Oh.
So we just might even just be reading.
I think we can all relate to that, right? Yeah. Those friends who you call, you're like, hey, you want to come over? No, don't bother putting on regular pants. Just like wear sweats, whatever. Let's just like hang out on the couch and like talk or not talk or like watch John Oliver or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
Drink wine. Go out to eat. Go on vacation together. We do really. We early on vacations were challenging, but now we've gotten into a groove where we know we'll get up in the morning and do yoga, and then we'll go. I'll make us a nice breakfast because we usually rent apartments. Then we go explore. Then we come home, and actually, that's when like the afternoon time, like that's the right time for sex and a nap. and then out for dinner, you know? So it's that kind of fitting in together that just works for us.
That's awesome. Well, and carving out, as you said, like carving out time for each other is so important, you know, and I love hearing you talk about your marriage contract, because that is such a great example, and whether you put it in writing or not, of how you negotiate like expectations and boundaries with a partner.
I love that mine is in writing, because I have emailed it to multiple different people, both friends who are just curious about relationship. And, you know, like my boyfriend has seen it. He actually had a comment and was like, can you change this? Because this rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
And it was reasonable.
What did he ask you to change, if you don't mind me asking?
We had a joke in there about people who were unacceptable. And he put, and my husband had put in Republicans. And my boyfriend, he's more of a libertarian, but he was just like very uncomfortable with the fact that if he voted a certain way, he would have to stop seeing me.
Contractually. That's totally fair.
It is totally fair. And I think we put like holds, you know, radically like different values than we do.
There you go.
And I thought that was a more, just a better way of putting it.
Yeah, totally.
But we do share it. And I've shared, like I said, with other lovers who were just potential and just curious and just friends.
Right, right. So for you guys, or for you specifically, being poly, do you like go to a ton of play parties, or is this really something that's more based on like the relationships that you have with people? Like, how do you meet your other constellation folks?
In my perfect world, I would meet them just out and about. Like, I met my boyfriend because we were working in a shared workspace.
Okay.
Different for different people, but we were working in a shared space. I've met other people online using apps. I have used Field a whole lot because it's common for meeting threesomes and other things.
Mm-hmm. I've used Field too.
Hmm?
I've used Field too. We talked about this a little bit on the panel,
right.
But I went on Field as like as a single female seeking couples to play with, and
you were inundated.
I was inundated.
Hell
because it's what's called a unicorn for a reason. We are very rare.
And you're lovely.
Thank you.
And smart.
Thank you. But I didn't end up like finding anybody really to play with for a variety of reasons. But I just found the whole process to be like kind of sterile and lacking like the vibes that are necessary.
It can be, it can be.
It's harder when there are three people in the mix rather than two people on regular. Like
I have had very little group play experience. I mentioned to you that I have had one threesome that was pretty spontaneous.
Tell me.
I met these two guys at a daybreaker.
Okay.
And they were
And Daybreaker is an early AM dance party that is sober and happens before everybody goes to work.
And they were clearly, they were dancing with lots of women. It was very funny because it was obvious they were trying to do some picking up. And when they eventually danced with me and my friend, I mean, I was just rolling my eyes and smiling like, ha ha ha, yeah, you're going to try to get us. We ended up talking and going outside, and this particular guy was into some kinks that I'm into, and like how he got the conversation on sex, which was, but not in a way that creeped me out. Like
right.
I was okay with it. And my friend was not interested in going back to their apartment, which was fine.
At 8 a.m.?
Well, it was a Saturday one, so it was at like 1.
Oh,
it was a little less early.
A little afternoon delight situation?
Afternoon delight is where it's at. That's all I'm
saying.
Oh,
yes, I'm here for afternoon delight.
But anyway, I had actually given one of them my card because of talking about the kink stuff.
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, they realized after we had left, oh, we have her card. And so we started doing all this mad texting. And I did actually go to the apartment they had rented the next day. Actually, it was in the morning.
Okay.
And I had a very fun experience.
Okay.
I had a very fun, very positive. I left there just feeling like the most beautiful woman in the world, very respected, very treasured, and it was great.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad you had a good first threesome experience.
It was.
That's awesome. Ugh. Well, as usual, time totally flying here in Insert Here. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rebecca. It was awesome to hear
your story. It was my pleasure. And I'm cracking up that the last thing listeners will hear is going to be about that threesome.
I love that. I think it's great. Well, so why don't you tell listeners where they can find out more information about Women Uncorked if they're curious?
Oh, absolutely. So you can go to women-uncorked, that's uncorked like a bottle of wine, .com. And you can also look us up on Facebook at Women Uncorked DC. We have meetings at least twice a month in a variety of locations, plus happy hours and other good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sex positive spaces are awesome. Come through women identifying individuals.
Yep.
So thank you so much for listening to Insert Here. We would love if you could drop us a little review if you enjoy the show. You can search for us on iTunes or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcast by searching Insert Here. You can also find us online at inserthere.fullserviceradio.org. And if you or someone you know might be a really good guest, drop me a line and let me know. You can email me at inserthere podcast@gmail.com. Stay horny, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.